Good evening and welcome to House Eparan Gospel Block Talk Radio. Good morning. Whatever time it is, wherever you are, God is right there with you. Let us go to the throne. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen. God, we are in trying times. We know that it is all in your hand. We're witnessing the birthing pains of your second coming, the birthing pains of change. We want to thank you, Jesus, for all of those that are listening to us. And we want to thank you for the Antioch Baptist Church here in Tunnel Spring with Reverend Wade and Olive as our pastor, and Sister Joyce, our first lady, and Sister Lisa Starr as our clerk. We thank you, Jesus, for the services that we've been having here lately due to the pandemic, and that many churches are doing the same so far as getting the word out to their flock. And we are eternally grateful and thankful. Be with us today as we go into this Sunday school lesson, Jesus. Be with this nation. Be with the president of this nation as he taught. Be with the president of this nation as he being put upon, criticized on all sides, as all men do, just as the men were doing and women were coming out of Egypt when Moses was leading them. They are no different now. We are no different now. But God, you are still in control and you are still in charge. Be with us and keep us in your hand. Let us remember to keep our hands in your hand, for you are the guiding. Let us not be fearful of what is taking place in and around us with this nation, from the president's house to our house. Be with our husbands, our wives, our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Be with us, those that are suffering bereavement, Jesus. Be with them and guide them. And we especially thank Reverend Oliver and Sister Oliver for leading this flock in these trying times. Be with us and keep us safe. These many blessings we ask in our Son Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let us begin. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, right here in Peterman, Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471. Telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. As we said, William Olive is our pastor, Sister Joyce Olive, our first lady. Also, Miss Lisa Starwis is our clerk. The Sunday school takes place every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. We always have service here lately now at 8:30 in the a.m., but worship service is usually on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays. All right? We hope everything is going well for you. No matter what you're going through, God is right there with you. All you have to do is call on him because he sits at the right hand of the Father. God of all wisdom, we marvel at the infinite depth of your wisdom. You know our every thought before we can even think to thank them. We ask for the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit to reign within us against the seductive ways of the mistress folly and to keep us at the table with Lady Wisdom. In Jesus' name, again, we pray that you hear our words today. Let's begin with wisdom counsel for defending your faith. Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 16th chapter, and the 23rd verse. That's for Monday. For Monday, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19, but when they deliver you up, be not anxious how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. Verse 20, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaketh in you. 21, and the brother shall deliver up the brothers to death, and the fathers, the child, and the children shall raise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That is the key thing. He that endures to the end, he shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become. We need to understand. We really need to understand what is taking place in the world today. In the world today. We are in terrible times. We are witnessing the birthing pains of change. The return of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He said that we're going to go through these things. And this is not that it's the end of things. It's just the beginning of the birthing pains of change. Isaiah 35, verses 3 to 10. This is our Tuesday lesson. Wise deeds of the coming Messiah. Wise deeds of the coming Messiah. Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 3 to 10. And it reads, verses 3 to 10, kingdom blessings for regathered Israel. Verses 3, and then to begin. Strengthen the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. These are times, prayers for words for now. You feel trouble and trial. You feel put upon. You feel pressed upon by what's going on all sides. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. God's going to take care of it, whatever is going on. Let's look at verse number 3, and it reads, verse number 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Ooh, what a good time for that would be for writing about now. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as in heart, and the tongues of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. Oh, man, this is about wise deeds of the coming Messiah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, when he comes, these things will be taking place. But in the meantime, you keep your hands in God's hand. You stay smart. You stay safe. You stay focused on Jesus Christ. You do what they're telling you in regards to what wearing masks and all those things. Do what is being told. All right. And then verse number seven. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land spring of water, and the habitations of the jackal, which each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. All right. Let's go to verse number eight. And in a highway shall there be there a way, and a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men through food shall not err therein. These are talking about the times of Jesus Christ when he is here with us, among us. These are the things that will be taking place. This is your hope. This is what you hope for. This is what you go through these trials and tribulations for. That's why you continue to pray and you call on Jesus Christ's name right now. The very times when even when you have, if you got pandemic, if you got what any other kind of sickness or whatever, death is approaching, whatever, God has got it because he offers something for you unseen by man. And these are examples of what is offered. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the final verse, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Among their heads there shall obtain joy, gladness and sorrow, and singing shall flee away. Oh, man. Sighing, rather, shall flee away. You know, we say, you know, you're under pressure and you're tired or whatever. You're stressed out and you take that sigh. And everything is going to be all right. Jesus Christ is bringing. You know, a lot of they talk about now, peace, 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 peace. God's going to bring peace with him. Those verses there tell you the wise deeds of the coming Messiah. These are the things that he's going to bring with him. All right. These are some of the things that he will be doing for you. Those that are believed, those that are saved, those that are keep their hands in Jesus' hand, those that hold out until the end. Let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 48. This is for Wednesday, July the 1st, John the Baptist's messenger. Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke, the 7th chapter. All right, let's go to Luke. God is awfully good, isn't he? Let's go to Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 28. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 28. As we turn the pages and they ruffle there, we hope that is not an irritant to you, but it's God's word. Luke, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 28. Let us begin. Verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness to see? And a reed shaketh in the wind. And it goes on to say, 25. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they were gorgeous apparel, and lived delicacies are in the king's court. But what we went ye out to see? A prophet. Ye, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. Verse 27. And it says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare the way before thee. And 28. And it says, for I say unto you, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Oh, man. John the Baptist, God's message. Prepare ye the way. Prepare the way before thee. John the Baptist was going out preaching, telling them, repent. Repent. Oh, what about now? Jesus Christ is still on his way back. He's on his way back. Call out to your brothers and your sisters, friends and foe. Repent. Repent. For Jesus Christ is on his way back. John the Baptist was God's messenger, telling us to prepare for Jesus Christ's return. It is still good for today. Prepare for Jesus Christ's return. He will be coming for a second time. All right, let's go to Wednesday, July the 2nd, the Messiah, Wise Deeds. That's Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. All right, as we turn the pages here for you. All right, Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Matthew's 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6, and it began. Jesus utilized John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist was beheaded, right? You know that somebody asked for John the Baptist's head. A woman asked for John the Baptist's head. How about that? All right. And John the Baptist's head was delivered for that woman. We leave you to think about that, and perhaps you already know that woman. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ceased commanding his 12, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. All right? All right? The Messiah, wisdom of the unwise cities. Okay? This is verse number 4. Number 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're getting a little bit lost, but God is still good. Let's begin. Continue with 11. Jesus utilized John the Baptist, all right? And it came to pass, when Jesus had ceased commanding his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come out, or do we look for another? And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and thee. Verse number 5. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are clean, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he whoso shall not be offended in me. Oh, man. What a powerful word. Jesus Christ. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are clean. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in thee. Let's go to Matthew 11 chapter, verses 20 through 24. Matthew 11 chapter. Okay. As we turn, Matthew 11 chapter, verses 20 through 24. All right. Let us begin. Jesus denounces the indifferent people. Indifferent. Who is indifferent? A lot of people say, oh, it don't bother me. It ain't my problem. It's your day problem. You be indifferent to other folks, what folks are going through. Somebody having a pandemic, it's attacked by the pandemic, and they're on a ventilator and that stuff. You say, it ain't my problem. I don't care. You're indifferent to them. Okay? All right, let's go to that's verse number 20 through 24. Matthew 20 through 24. And it reads, then began he to unbraid the cities in which most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Okay? Do you have an opportunity to repent? Yes, you do. Right now, you do. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You have had a chance. Over and over again you have had a chance. You should have repented long ago, is what he's saying. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. Oh, the day of judgment. You know, we always want the day of judgment to come and hurry up, Lord, and come. But guess what? That judgment will always be for you. Be weary of what you have done, for you must be judged as well. And thou, Capernaum, which are about unto heaven, shall be brought down to Hades. Brought down to Hades. That's death. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. All right. Another verse. Verse 24. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of the judgment than for thee. Oh, man. That he is talking to the folks that are indifferent. It's going to be bad for you. Do you understand that? It's going to be really bad for you if you don't care about other folks suffering and things that are going on. It's indifferent to you. Oh, it ain't my problem. It's their problem. Yeah. Oh, man. God is telling you that during the judgment, it's going to be bad for you. It's going to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you get that? You understand that? Okay. Let's go to Saturday, July the 4th. That was from wise, woes to an unwise cities. And they say unwise cities. When they say cities, you're talking about a city, or you could be talking about a person, unwise person in regards to what we just got through saying. Now, you are indifferent. Our country that's indifferent to other folks suffering. But I don't want you to be confused now. Let's be clear on what we're saying. If you are indifferent to the suffering and things that are going on around and about you, that other people are going through, and things and so forth, sin and evil and all that kind of thing. You just don't care. God got a judgment especially for you. And that judgment is going to be worse than Sodom. Okay, remember, you know Sodom and Gomorrah? How fire and brimstone rained down on them. God says it's going to be worse than that for you. I hate to be repeating it, but I really want to get that point across to you. Are you indifferent to what is going on in the world today? So for sin and what's going on, what's happening to people, the catastrophes and things that are taking over, you should care about it. Don't let it be indifferent to you like a duck water off a duck's back, okay? Let's go to Saturday, July the 4th. Wisdom invitation to come and rest. This is out of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 25th through the 30th verse. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter, the 25th through the 30th verse. The new message, personal discipleship. You know what that means, right? Personal discipleship. You heard that song we sang sometime. I'll go if I have to go. I'll go by myself. Send me, I'll go. You know? That means you go. You go tell folks about Jesus Christ. You go tell folks how God has blessed you. You go tell folks. That's what it's telling you. You. All right, here we go. The new message, personal discipleship. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of the heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes. What's hidden? It was hidden for a while that you are supposed to go to tell the world about Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus Christ said when he was leaving, remember he told them that he was coming back on a cloud. That was something that was hidden. Folks were acting out talking about how Jesus is coming back. He's coming back on a cloud and everybody's going to see. From the wise and prudent and has revealed these unto babes. There are a lot of things that takes place in the Bible. God reveals them even to babes. That for you to understand. Okay? Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And it says, come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is telling that to you. Whenever things are rough and tired and really boom, 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 come to Jesus. He has a resting place for you. Take his wisdom. Understand. Remember how we talk about wisdom, how it be calling out to you? Just like what's going on now. It is wisdom and wise and prudent. Some folks say, don't wear a mask. We said that last week, remember? Some folks say, oh, you're not going to be telling me what to do. Do not be naive. Do not be foolish. Listen to smart wisdom. Save yourself. Not in the sense to how the man that was hanging on the cross talking about come down and save yourself and save us. No. He's talking about listen. Listen. Listen to what your father said. Listen to what your grandmother said. Listen to sound doctrine. You know now, a lot of people won't hear. Just like I'm speaking to you right now. Some of you won't hear. Oh, some of you won't hear. But God is still good. He's still getting the word out to you. Even though you can't go to the Sunday school and sit there like we normally do in the Sunday school lesson and talk back and forth to each other about what's taking place with God's word, he is still getting you the word. Now, if you don't want to listen to what's being said on the internet, you don't want to listen to Reverend Olive when he preaches on the internet, through the efforts of those that are putting that out there for you. If you don't want to do that, that's your choice. But God is still getting the word to you. Personal discipleship. Okay, he said, fail not to assemble yourselves together. you are still assembling yourselves together every Sunday that you come out to the church and sit in your car and other folks in the car as you see them. Y'all are there together. Okay? You're in the car with other folks. You can talk back and forth to each other among your family. You are still assembling yourself. You're hearing the word come over the loudspeakers, over the PA system, as Reverend Oliver preached. Personal discipleship. Do the things that you know. And God lets you know, and you are to tell others about God. Okay. Sunday, July the 5th, which is the lesson, which is the Sunday school lesson for today. Wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. The Sunday school lesson for today, July the 5th, wisdom in action, vindicating wisdom. Matthew's 11th chapter, verses 7 through 19. We're going to turn the page, and we're going to read a few other things before we go exactly into the Sunday school lesson itself. We know that devotional reading will come from Matthew, the 10th chapter, 1 through 14. The background scripture was Matthew 11, chapter 1 through 9. Our print passage, which is today's lesson, will come from Matthew 11, chapter verses 7 through 19. The key verse is this. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a wine glutton, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. This one deserves an amplification in another NIV verse. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is proved right by her deed. Do you know when you associate with people that normally do not be attending church, what they're going to say about you? The same thing was said about Jesus Christ when he was with the tax collectors. And when he was with the folks that were drinking, when he sit down and drink with folks, when he was with the Pharisees and things like that, they were saying things about Jesus the same way. They're going to say the same things about you. Okay? But wisdom is proven right by her deeds. It is right for you to go to the person. The person that needs God's word is the person that's a drunkard or whatever, just doing wrong. That's where you need to be. That's where you need to be, okay? Oh, as a result of experiencing this lesson, the participant should be able to do these things. Explain how the action of Jesus and John the Baptist were different from one another and different from the expected ultimate display of divine wisdom. Feel encouraged to have behave in ways contrary to the expected order following Jesus. Feel encouraged to behave in ways contrary to the expected in order to follow Jesus. You know what I just got you saying? That go to the drunkard. Go to the gambler. Go to wherever the sinners are. But guess what? You must be clothed in righteousness now. Because if you're not, Satan will leave you running there with your clothes hanging off you. Okay? Be ready. Be prepared. Review their own behavior. Determine whether it is reflected godly wisdom and commit to focus on one specific area of improvement. Your own personal life. There, you know everything there is to know about your life. You know where you need to shore yourself up. You know where you need to strengthen up. You know where you need to do. Take a personal assessment of your personal life and your division and your devices. Whatever you're doing, stop it. Whatever you're doing, you know what you're doing. Do what Jesus Christ is telling you to do. Take a personal assessment of your spiritual life and what you're doing on your Christian life, okay? All right. Why this lesson matters. People often label unusual or unexpected behavior in eccentric, foolish, or even wrong, and the person who acts in such usual ways are vilified. Let me read that again. People often label unusual or unexpected behavior as eccentric, foolish, or even wrong, and the person who acts in such unusual way are vilified. Isn't that true today? What should be an assessment when someone's behavior is unexpected? And in the book of Matthew, Jesus said that his behavior and John's, while unusual in their way, will eventually prove to be wise for their subsequent deeds. Okay, you don't know what the guy is doing at the juke joint. You don't know what the guy's doing at the crack house. You don't know what the guys is doing where the prostitutes and the whores hang out. You don't know. He may be telling somebody about Jesus Christ. You don't know. You don't know what the subsequent deeds are that are taking place. God knows. You don't know everything. Can I say that again? You don't know everything. The lesson in focus. The lesson in focus. Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines radical as favoring extreme change in existing views, habits, conditions, and institutions. Colloquially, we may define radical as rocking the boat. How about that? Do you know people rock at the boat? I was rocking the boat when I was a youngster who returned here from overseas and was writing articles in the Monroe Journal about the local schools. Me and Larry Starwitz were rocking the boat. Larry Starwitz was taking the pictures inside of the rundown conditions of the school, and I was writing about them in the newspaper. I was rocking the boat. I was making some folks mad in education about the conditions out at J.F. Shields High School. I was rocking the boat. The Online Urban Dictionary defines rocking the boat to mean stirring up trouble. I was stirring up trouble for educators and teachers and principals who were satisfied with the conditions in which things are, in which the schools were. Rocking the boat means stirring up trouble. To rock the boat means to disrupt things, promote the disharmony, make waves, pick a fight, cause trouble, disagreement. There are persons who want to be labeled as radical. Okay? However, today's radical may be one day become tomorrow's norm. Look at what's taking place today with this president. Oh, look at what's happening with this president. He has ushered in a time in this country where folks would do, say, and anything openly and publicly. Oh, what you say? Look at what is happening today. What a testimony to God's word. We're all familiar with Dr. King's most pastorate, the Desperate Avenue Memorial Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama. It was from the pulpit that Dr. King launched his civil rights activism, pronunciated by the Montgomery bus boycott, 1955 to 1956. What might be surprising is that Dr. King's predecessor, Pastor Vernon Johns, lost the confidence of the same flock because of his civil rights activity. That same preacher, another preacher at an earlier time, lost the job as a preacher. There's a time for everything. It was a time for Martin Luther King. The time that we are going through now is the time that God has pronounced that President Donald Trump be in president. The same thing that happened with President Barack Obama, the 44th president of the United States, served two terms. It was time for God to do that. God showed those things during President Barack Obama's time, how they treated him, how they misused him, how they lied on him, how President Barack Obama behaved as president. All of those things were time. God had a reason for it. God has his time for everything. And it's the time now for Donald Trump. God raises him up and God sets him down. There's somebody coming after President Donald Trump. And there's going to be times that for that person coming that God has set in motion. Exactly. What Dr. King did a few years after accepting the call to his church was now acceptable. I am a firm believer that those who rock the boat must have someone pull the boat over, oars out of the water. Pastor John pulled up the anchor so that Dr. King could rock the boat. How about that? There's a mean, safe answer like the Sunday school superintendents at Antioch Baptist Church. There were superintendents before me. There was Sunday superintendents before Deacon Charlie. That was superintendents before Deacon Charlie became president. That was Sunday school superintendents before Deacon left. Look at it. God has a time for everything. That was pastors before Reverend Oliver. That was pastors before, pastors before Reverend Oliver. You must know, you must be wise and understand. John the Baptist pulled up the anchors for the status quo so that Jesus could rock the boat. John the Baptist was saying, prepare ye the way. Jesus Christ is coming. Prepare ye the way. Make ye the way. Then Jesus Christ come and rock the boat. How about it? Jesus Christ was sitting down with drunkards and prostitutes and with all kinds of folks. Man, that had folks upset. Look at Jesus. Sitting down with the drunkards. He's a drunkard. Sitting down with the prostitutes and the whores and the other folks. Look at Jesus. Today we still have John King and John the Baptist, Jesus scenario. Hopefully we will learn from the history of that. Today's dislike radicals could easily become tomorrow's revered heroes. All right. The lesson in context before we go ahead. All right. John the Baptist, according to the River Bible, as an adult, John lived a solitary life in the desert until he began to preach. Then, like the prophets of old, John confronted the Jewish people with their need to repent. See Matthew the 3rd chapter and Luke the 3rd chapter. His strict ethical views corresponded completely with the Old Testament laws. See Luke the 3rd chapter 10 through 14. Yet, in some ways, John was unique. John identified himself as forerunner of the promised Messiah and announced that God's kingdom was near. See Luke the 3rd chapter 15 and 18. John the 1st chapter 19 through 18. John introduced baptism as a visible sign of confession and repentance. See Mark the 1st chapter and verse 4. Although his life is recorded in the New Testament, John the Baptist is recognized as the last Old Testament prophet. He taught from the law without all the fillers. He taught from the law without all the fillers of the tradition of the Jewish religious leader. He spoke against hypocrisy. You know what hypocrisy is? Doing one thing, saying one thing and doing another. And the Jewish leaders were thus drawing their fury. Oh, he chose to preach in the wilderness, akin to Elijah's ministry. He chose to preach out in the woods and in the other place instead of inside of a church. That's different from him, okay? As John is his forerunner, Jesus fully expected John the Baptist to identify him as the promised Messiah. The proof was in Jesus' miracles. See Matthew 11, 2 and 6, and wisdom-filled preaching. Luke 4, 16 through 21. He also should note that Matthew 11 and 10 quoted Malachi, Mark 1 and 2, Luke 7 and 27 provided full evidence of Jesus' fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was foretold coming nearly 400 or 500 years before he even got here, right? Well, the prophets did that, Malachi, okay? Insight. We have a very different paradise for the Jewish religion leaders when it comes to John the Baptist and Jesus. Although John the Baptist strictly followed the tenets of the law and condemned people like the tax collector, the Jewish religious leaders still rejected him. He also separated himself in the wilderness. In contrast, Jesus was among the people in the cities and towns across Judea. He dined with people from whom religious leaders could call sinful. Look at that. Additionally, Jesus followed the law, but not the rigid rules aided by the Jewish religious leader. Even John the Baptist's disciples had questioned Jesus, his behavior. See Matthew 9, 14 and 17. The truth of verse 19 is that the Jewish leaders, religious leaders, saw two preachers with two contrasting delivery methods, but the same message. The real problem was with them, not John the Baptist or Jesus. Remember what President Donald Trump is doing. No other presidents in the history has acted like him and said the things and cussed and said the vile stuff that he said about folks. Ooh, look at it. Look at it. Be aware that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is in control. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is doing something. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ and doing right and loving. No matter what President Donald Trump say, you continue to love and care for people, whether they're Jews, Gentiles, whoever they are, black, Mexican, Puerto Rican. You continue to love people and care for people and do for people, regardless of what President Donald Trump is saying and how he's acting. Because God raised him up for this time that we're living in today, July the 5th, 2020, July the 4th, 2020, July the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. God raised him up for this time. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. All right. Okay, since this Independence Day weekend, you may have a small crowd today. Listen at that. You can have one or two people over to your house, but don't go out to a big brother, a lot of folks everywhere, and folks just doing it. Be smart. Do what you're supposed to do. You can have a couple of people over to your house if you want to. I hope some of us did. Some of us maybe did. Some of us didn't. Some of you just stayed at home. But be wise and be smart. So we want to take extended time to share about one day's introductory stories. You should encourage your students. I encourage you to share your things about your people and the things that you know and you have and odd behavior, but special gifts. How about that? Do you do that? You share special things about special people that have odd behavior but special gifts? Yes, they are all around us. Okay. Okay, let us begin with the lesson. This is from the King James Version, commentary from Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 7 through 10. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 7 through 10. This is the first outline. Here we go. And they departed. Jesus began to say unto their multitude concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Are you listening? Are you listening, y'all? Here we go, verse 8. But what went ye out for you to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they wear soft clothing are in king's houses. John the Baptist didn't do any of that. John the Baptist was rough and wild and ready. You hear me? John the Baptist wore really rough clothes. And he wasn't putting in no fine linen and stuff like that, like you in the castle and like that. John the Baptist was wild. Okay? But what ye went out to see? A prophet. Ye, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. Hey, he's still a prophet. Yeah, he may not be delivered like me. He may not be dressed up like the folks that are in the synagogue and in the castle. But guess what? He's still a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Oh, come on, Antioch. Come on. I know you're with me. Here we go. And this is the one of whom it is written, I will send a message ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. In other words, he's going to prepare the way before Jesus Christ. Jesus expected John the Baptist to recognize Jesus' identity as a Messiah from the wise action Jesus had performing Matthew 11, chapter 2 and 5, in Luke 4, 16 to 21. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, which describes such acts as those of the Messiah and proclaimed their fulfillment in him. Matthew 11 and 1 ended the second Jesus' five major discourses recorded in Matthew. The others are Matthew 7, 13, 19, 26. Jesus' disciples departed for their missionary work in Galilee. John the Baptist from the prison cell sent his disciples to inquire of Jesus whether he was the Messiah. Answering John the Baptist's inquiry, Jesus chose to let the works of his ministry be the answer. How about that? Jesus been doing the works of the Messiah? Certainly. Those in the crowd then seen and heard the discourse between Jesus and John the Baptist's disciples. They were wondering about John the Baptist's question. Was he jealous or genuinely concerned? Oh, John the Baptist, in prison, heard about Jesus Christ doing things. And John the Baptist sent out an inquiry. Is this the one I was talking about? How about that? Then some people would disagree about that. But you got to stay focused, right? Got to stay focused. John was only inquiring because of the things he had preached and what this Jesus was doing. How about that? Jesus did not want anyone in the crowd to think that any less of John the Baptist. So he described John the Baptist as a man of sound principle who could not be swayed in his belief like a reed swayed in the wind. Oh, very indifferent from one side to the other. Did I remind you of anything that's happening today in politics? One person this way, another person that way. You'll ever hear today, definitely think about some people like that. Okay? The last second, let's go to the next outline as we close in on the hour that we have allotted for the Sunday school. This is Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 11 through 15. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, but hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, withstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Oh, do you hear what he's saying? Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of a woman, that hath no rising greater than John the Baptist. No, nobody's rise is greater than John the Baptist. He was the first that said, go prepare the way, repent. Remember? You know that, right? And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Ooh, are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. Ooh, and ye shall receive it. This is Elijah's, which was far to come. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. There is more coming. There's going to be some after John the Baptist. Ah, all preparing for Jesus' coming, return. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subject to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. John the Baptist, when you talk about Elijah come, he was the Elijah that was to come. Do you hear that? Whosoever had ears, let them hear. Let me say that again. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. All right. Why did Jesus, verse 11, proclaim the greatness of John the Baptist in comparison to any other person born? Look at that. John the Baptist, greater than any other person born. How about that? We must examine the statement in the context of John the Baptist represented. He was the last in the line of Old Testament prophets. However, he was the only one to prophesy about and meet the promise. All right, promise, Messiah. God gave John the Baptist that distinct honor. Yet in the same verse, Jesus said that the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 11. While John the Baptist saw the drawing of the age of grace, while John the Baptist saw the dawning of the age of grace, believers after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus would experience the fullness of the age of grace. That would make them greater than John the Baptist, now in the ranks, but in experience. What period are we in now? Everybody knows it, I hope. We're in the period of grace, unmerited grace. God gives you chance after chance after chance after chance after chance, over and over and over again, just like you are breathing, breath after breath after breath after breath, sin after sin after sin. God gives you chance after chance after chance. Unmerited grace. He's giving you us right now. You still got a chance. You still got a chance. John the Baptist's ministry ushered in the era of turmoil. What are we in now? Turmoil. You haven't seen anything yet. It's going to get rougher. Turmoil, the advent of the principles of God's kingdom on earth. 400 years, the Jewish leaders led by the prophets, Pharisees, had corrupted the kingdom from John the Baptist preaching to challenge the status quo that Jesus' religious leaders. Powerful words indeed. Powerful words indeed. Powerful words. All right. The last outline. The last outline. As we move here, we need to close this door here because we are beginning to get some other feedback sounds here. Okay, let's bring our mics down. All right. This is the last outline. Matthew 11, chapter 16. Matthew 11, 16 through 19. But whereunto shall I liken the generations? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their followers, and saying, we have piped into you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came hither eating, not drinking, and say, he has a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and thou said, behold, a man glutton and a wine bibber is a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. In other words, what he's saying is, you have had folks come to you before. We had folks doing it. You have accused people that was doing, you saw at the drug house, you saw at the crack house, you saw at the prostitute's house, you accused them and doing all kinds of other stuff. But whereunto ye shall liken the generations? Oh, I'm getting feedback here and I don't know where it's coming from. I'm going to turn something thing down. Hopefully we can get that right. Okay. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a devil. Look at that. You accuse people that are doing good. You call them, accuse them, say there's a devil. You do that, don't you? All right. Okay. The interference is getting where I can't continue here. But we're going to go ahead and close out the subject. We hope everything is going well for you. Jesus continued his discourse with an indication of Jewish religious leaders. He likened them to a bunch of children sitting in the city market, seeking the attention of others. God is awfully good. He is still in control. God is working out what is taking place in the world. Don't get all over in an uproar. They wanted to see the center of attention. They wanted to be the center of attention. They wanted to gain attention of the peers. First, they tried playing an upbeat tune like they played at a wedding. If they did not work, they switched gears and played a song that would be played at a funeral. Powerful words. We also see parallels in 17 when Jesus, John the Baptist ministered. John the Baptist lived a bare-bone life, living off the land in the wilderness. He openly condemned tax collectors and sinners. Matthew 3:7-12. People came to hear him. Still, the Jewish leaders said that he was a demon filled. In contrast, Jesus traveled through the cities and towns of Judea, the surrounding regions, even eating meals with tax collectors and sinners. In closing this section of his reading, Jesus intimated that wisdom means recognizing what is fitting, such as play and wedding music for a wedding, and what is play and funeral music instead. So the truth is both methods are effective. Each of them were reading different audience. Luke 7:35. Remember Jesus' statement in Matthew 11:19. As wisdom is vindicated by her children, suggesting the link between John, Jesus, and their disciples. There is work for us to do.
As we close in on this lesson, we want to thank all of you that took part in today's lesson, and we hope that you were blessed by the word. And remember the lesson today, wisdom in action. Wisdom in action. Go out and do. Do what God is telling you to do. Go to the prostitute. Go to the drunkard. Go to the person that's doing wrong. No matter that they accuse you of being a drunkard or a whore or a thief or whatever, if you go out and talk to the voices that's stealing, don't worry about that. You just go and do. They don't know what you're doing. You do what God is telling you to do. On behalf of all of us here at the radio station and at Antioch Baptist Church, we're going to close in prayer. As wise God, thank you for the life of John the Baptist. Through his life, we learn the value of forerunners in our lives. We ask that you keep pricking our hearts to the right example, to those around us, and to those who will succeed us in the ministry work. Somebody going to be a Sunday school teacher at Antioch after Freddie Howard. We thank you in advance for your help. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
We will see y'all next time on the Sunday School lesson here from Antioch Baptist Church on that House of Black and Gospel Radio. Again, thank you all.